I know that some of you are very in tune with seasons of the church and the church lectionary, and you need to know this scripture is from last Sunday's lectionary. That's somewhat worrisome to me. We're a whole week behind now. If we get behind starting in January, where will we become December? It's kind of worrisome. And so I throw myself on your mercy, but not too mercifully, because I am emboldened that we stepped aside last week for Human Relations Sunday. And I make no apologies for that. That is the core of the gospel. Caring for one another, loving one another. So at any rate, we are on last week's, if you're following, so you'll just have to deal with the temporal disconnect there. The Sunday's scriptures this morning, and you might have heard a theme. We've got a wedding archway back behind, and I was tempted to bring it out here because the theme of wedding is all around us. Did you hear it in many places? The call to worship mentioned it, and Richard read out of Isaiah. I'm going to read the New International Version of a snippet. Never again will you be called the forgotten city or the desolate land. Your name will be the city of God's delight, the bride of God. For the Lord delights in you and will claim you as his bride. That's pretty wedding related, isn't it? And then, of course, the gospel lesson. It's a wedding in Cana. We don't know who's getting married. Isn't it interesting that this famous event, and we don't know who is getting married or what? Gosh, that'd be something to have as part of your wedding pictures. No, I know they didn't take pictures back then. I thought about weddings in January, and I went back. Pastors have a book. Well, some pastors, I don't know if all, but in my first appointment, Keith Merriman gave me a book, and in it you record significant events, and every wedding and every funeral and every baptism. You're supposed to record every sermon, but that never happened for me. I just decided not to, I guess. But I recorded every wedding, as far as I'm aware. 81 weddings I've done. 81. Well, thank you for that. Yeah, I haven't lost anyone at any of them. A couple of them were close. First wedding I did, the bride lit her veil on fire. The bride and groom were both firemen. It was interesting. Didn't mean to do it. It was just we learned something that day. But out of all 81, none of them in January. Do you know of any January weddings at all? Do you? Do you know of one? All right. I was just checking. I thought maybe there was an unspoken rule, but it doesn't. But intriguingly, this morning is not about weddings at all. So we turn, and the core of the message this morning is turning to the John passage. The wedding in Cana of Galilee. Now, I don't know about you, but I've read through and we've listened to scriptures. And so as soon as I turn to John 2, I say, it's the wedding account. And I kind of just set it aside. I've already heard this. I already know it. I don't need to listen to this again. And it's dangerous to do that because scripture can speak to us the first time we read it. And it can speak to us in a different way the 30th time we read it, if we stop and read it. And that happened to me on this. But if you think about that and someone says, well, what's it about, and gives you a heads up, you'd say, well, it's a miracle that Jesus turns the water into wine. There's actually a joke about that. The priest is driving his car home and looks in his rearview mirror and gets pulled over. The police officer comes up and says, Father, you were weaving back and forth. And he says, I don't know why that would be the case. I don't know. He says, Father, have you been drinking? He says, no, just drinking some water here. And he hands him the canteen. Of course, it's wine. He says, this is not water. This is wine. And the priest says, he's done it again. The Lord's done it again. I couldn't pass the joke there. I just But wine is an interesting thing. Today we it's dealt with in a different way, but in Jesus's time, you didn't drink water. There were no water purification plants. They did not know that the water was full of contaminants, but they knew that if you drank it, you got sick. And so you make wine, and the alcohol in the wine kills all those nasty bugs. They didn't know why it worked, but wine would be always consumed as your liquid. I always think about that. Kids drinking wine, adults drinking wine, that would have been your liquid to keep you hydrated. And here is this miracle. Except it's a funny thing. If you listen to John and you listen to the scripture, John doesn't call it a miracle. He gets to the very end of the story and he says, Jesus did this, the first of his signs. A sign. Well, I would say turning water into wine is a miracle, but John, and this is John, this is our brother John. John is the one that is the preacher's best friend. I mean, if you need fuel for a sermon, you turn to the Gospel of John, because he is preaching to the people all through his gospel, isn't he? And he's telling these rich, full stories that give us a sense of the wonderful divine Christ. He has a very high Christology. That is, Jesus was always the Christ, even from day one, very much divine at all times. Mark is more of a low Christology. Jesus was human growing up. And so diversity doesn't matter where you stand on that. But here is John, and preachers love John, and here he calls it a sign. That's like, I can't even compare that. It just seems so minuscule in comparison to the reality. It is amazing, though, that he is about several things. And if you are a scholar of the Gospels, you know that the different accounts of different events are in different Gospels. There are four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you recall. And the three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, if one tells a story, the others will have their account of that story, because they're all remembering Jesus' life and they're remembering his history. And John is in a whole different camp. He's called non-synoptic. But John has several stories that don't occur at all in the synoptic Gospels. He has several accounts. See if you recognize any. The wedding of Cana in Cana of Galilee is one. Do you remember the story of the Samaritan woman at the well? Jesus is there. He comes to the well. The woman comes to draw water. And they have a conversation. How is it you, a Jew, is talking to me, a Samaritan woman? And I am the living water, and if you draw from here, you will not have to draw over and over again. And he tells her that she's been married four times and living with somebody that isn't her husband. She says, you're a prophet. And she believes and understands. That's an important story. What about the one where Jesus is teaching in the temple? He goes into the temple. He's teaching them. They give him the Isaiah scroll prophesying the coming of the Messiah. And he reads it. And he says, today this prophecy has been fulfilled in your hearing. He doesn't say it, but he's effectively saying, I'm the one. I'm the one predicted, and here I am. One of my favorites is the after Jesus' death and resurrection. Fishermen don't know what to do. They go back to their jobs. It's over. Jesus is dead. They don't know what to do. So they go out fishing and they fish all night and they haven't caught anything. And in the morning, this man appears on the beach and says, brothers, have you caught any fish? No, we have not a thing. All night long, we've been fishing nothing. He says, well, cast your nets on the other side of the boat. And so they do, and their nets are so full of fish, they can't haul the nets in. Their nets are bursting with fish. And Simon Peter realizes it is the Lord and leaps into the water and comes ashore. And they cook some of the fish, and Jesus eats with them, demonstrating he is fully human after his death, restored completely, not just a spirit. That story only exists in John. And here, John, the one that is telling these wonderful things, that leads us, that does such a good job, he calls it a sign, turning the water into sign. It's just a sign. But there's something else that comes up, and this is one of those cases, and I told you, you read a scripture, and then you discover something you missed before. Three is a number in the church. Three kind of works out to interesting things. Three, one, two, three. Three crosses. The Trinity, the God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three. Jesus asks Simon Peter while they're eating fish on the beach, "Simon, do you love me?" He says, "Yes, Lord. Feed my sheep." Then he asks him again, "Simon, do you love me?" He says, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my lambs." And the third time he asks him again, he says, "Jesus asked Simon, do you love me?" And Simon Peter says, "Lord, why do you keep asking that? You know that I love you. Feed my sheep." Three times. Three times. It's a significant number. And we understand that. Numbers are significant. But here's an odd thing. Our scripture this morning, Richard read it. And as he was beginning it, and we're reading it on the screen, it starts out, "On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there." So I backed up. I thought, well, okay, this is just chronological. And so often in churches, we read what happens, and then it's a Sunday, and then we read what happens, the next set of verses and the next account. And so we don't have a continuity of reading a chapter together. So I backed up into the chapter. This begins in the first chapter of John. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Do you recall? There's no virgin birth narrative. There's no Mary and Joseph. This is Jesus, who is the Son of God, who always was, who is and always will be the Christ. And then it proceeds, and it says, "The next day, he comes," and John sees him coming, and it says, "Here is one coming, whose sandals I am unworthy to untie, who is greater than me." And the next day, John sees him coming, says, here is the Lamb of God. And then it says, there's some more part of that chapter, and it says, the next day, Jesus finds two disciples and says, "What are you looking for?" Do you remember that? They're searching, they're asking, "Could this be?" And he says, "What are you searching for?" And they come and see. And so two of the disciples join his group. And the next day, he gathers with some more, and one of them is Nathanael, who says, "Here is an Israelite in whom there is no guile." And then it is chapter 2, verse 1, that says, "On the third day." Well, now, wait a minute. 1, 2, 3, 4. This is the fifth day, any way you look at it. If you're counting day by day after a certain point that John doesn't really delineate, the next day basically means later on, I think, for John. But here he doesn't say the next day. He says on the third day. On the third day. So it's not chronology. It is an epiphany. We are in the season of Epiphany, and the Epiphany means that aha moment. I just had an epiphany. I just realized how it works. We've all had that divine inspiration. All too often we attribute it to our own wisdom and abilities. Maybe we should pause sometimes and recognize that God speaks to us and gives us the grace and the wisdom that we have. So there is this epiphany, this awakening, this awareness. And Jesus has turned the water into wine. This is a sign. It is a sign of something. It's a sign. It is a sign that Jesus is beginning his divine ministry. This is the first miracle that he performs. John would not miss the opportunity to call it a miracle, turning the water to wine. But he realizes that that's not what's pivotal. What's pivotal is not the water to wine. You heard the story that they make the change, these huge jugs of water used for washing hands or washing feet. It's just raw water. And it's been changed, but only the steward and the servants, only the servants are aware of what's occurred. So this is not the miracle. The miracle is that Jesus performed a miracle, that he begins his ministry, begins to do the signs that are who he is. Jesus is revealed as the Christ, the Messiah, the one that's predicted, the one that was calling, the one that is arriving. It's a revelation of him. And he is revealing his glory. It is the third day. The third day is pivotal because Jesus arose on the third day. He was crucified and buried, and on the third day rose again. This is what this is. The third day is a sign of him rising and being the one. Here is Jesus the Messiah. Here is Jesus with the disciples, and they understand and they perceive the Lord. Here is Christ with the church. Here is Christ the groom with the church, the bride. Here is a divine relationship, the love of divine time for us together. Here is our Savior among us. Amen. Hallelujah.